أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدم الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. في رئيس المجتمع الرحمن السوسي الصلاة. One of the reminders we have in the month of Ramadan, which we see the fast guiding us to, is the matter of having control over our desires. First, I would like to clarify that these desires are not bad. There is a wrong understanding with regards to desires, that if we take that wrong approach, we will end up in a bigger problem. That wrong approach, for example, in regards to the sexual desire, which is a strong desire in human beings, God has put it there. The Christian approach, as far as I know, not very knowledgeable in Christianity, but I think it's one of those basic pieces of information that anyone can find when they look up that a particular faith in its, of course, current day reading and understanding. It's considered a wrong thing. It's bad. Theologically, it's looked down upon. And out of necessity, it is allowed, bare minimum. That's not God's rule. That's not what God says about that. When you go to that extreme, when you make God's halal haram, you end up moving in a direction that you are bound. Your society will be bound to commit a lot more haram than you thought you were purifying yourself by avoiding this particular desire. Any desire, for this one example, I think is one that we clearly see, an ideology in the name of a religion, a particular desire is demonized, is considered evil, is considered wrong, inherently wrong. Where if you want to get closer to God, you have to avoid it entirely. You need to become like the priest. They don't get married. They're not supposed to. Catholicism, at least apparently, that's still there. Others apparently moved away from it, but there's still certain, I would call them, residue of that ideology that remain with those who separate it from Catholicism in the West. For example, one of the examples is this whole idea, a number of examples, but one of them, the idea of a male or monogamous marriages being permissible only, that's not an Abrahamic teaching. That's not a Christian teaching. That's not a Jewish teaching. The Abrahamic teaching is polygamy. That's what Prophet Ibrahim practiced. That's what our Prophet practiced. That is Islam's teaching. That is religion's teaching. But they, although they didn't go as far as saying that if you want to ascend spiritually, you need to avoid it. And so you have preachers and what have you, people who are supposed to be more religious and more knowledgeable that are getting married in some of the other sects of Christianity other than Catholicism, but they still have some of the traces of that. This desire is considered inherently wrong or something that is must be very, very limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifying this, in if we want to control our desires, which is the main point tonight, the lesson of the month of Ramadan is controlling desires. But there's a difference between controlling desires and suppressing desires. If you go overboard where God has not set a boundary and a limit and a red line, do not cross this. If God didn't put it there, when you put that red line there, that is called suppressing a desire. The result of that is not going to be piety. The result of that is not going to be reaching God's proximity. The result of that is not getting near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result of it is counter, it's the opposite, it's contrary. This is all over the teachings of the Prophet and all over the Quran. There are a number of verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, this is one of them in Surah Baqarah, it's found in other chapters as well, very similar language. Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ard halalan tayyiban wa la tattabi'u khutuwat ash-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. There's a dichotomy mentioned. First, O people, doesn't say O Muslims, O believers, O people, everybody. Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ard halalan tayyiba. Which on earth that he has identified as halal, which is, by the way, whatever is halal is tayyib, is good for you, is beneficial for you. Take from it. That's one thing you can do. And you are commanded. See, there's a command. It's an order. Kulu. Doesn't say you can. Kulu. It's a command. Now, according to jurisprudence, that doesn't mean it's wajib and every single halal that's there, you need to take it. But generally, yes, it is. You must take from halal whenever there is a desire towards halal things. Take it. Not whenever. There is, and there's no other obstacle, there's no problem with it. Take it. Don't put your own limits. Don't restrict God's halal. Kulu, that's one thing you can do. What's the opposite of not taking in the verse? When you don't take from the halal that God has given, it says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Not taking halal is considered following the khutuwat, the steps, the direction, the commands of the shaitan. I thought going for haram was following the shaitan. I thought when God said, this is wajib if I don't do it, that's following the shaitan. I thought when something is forbidden, if I go ahead and do it, that was following the shaitan. But this verse is saying, no, if God has made something halal, if you make it haram on yourself, you create a red line, I'm not going to do this. Our community creates our own law and our own red line, and we say, this is not allowed. This is considered following the khutuwat of shaitan. In the behavior, in the sunnah of our Prophet, some of the areas I feel that the community is a little, unfortunately, we've created some of these boundaries such that we cannot, or it's difficult to even discuss some of the areas that the sunnah of the Prophet shows us very clearly. So I'll give you some of the more basic versions. I won't give you the more difficult ideas that are clear, they're present. Their basic knowledge of the life of the Prophet, the conduct of the Prophet, in his family life, in his personal life, all of which is an uswa. The Holy Prophet in his entirety, everything he did is an uswa. He's a role model in it, not for that time, not for those people, not for that culture, not for that era, for all times, from that point onwards until the day of judgment. So one of the wrong things we hear is that, well, the Prophet did this in that context. Sorry, that does not conform with the teachings of the Prophet. That does not conform with the Quran. If that was going to be the case, the Quran would not be the last message. The Prophet would not be the last Prophet. There would be another Prophet to come and say, well, for this time, it's going to be like this. Let's take out this teaching. Let's take out that teaching. No. One of the companions of the Prophet is Uthman ibn Mad'un, a great companion. Someone who strived to be better, to get closer to Allah. And there were many. He's one of them. He misunderstood something. His wife came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulallah, this man, at night time he's praying, during the day he's fasting. We can't get close to this guy. And he's not around. Is this your teaching? The Prophet got very angry. Not that, okay, I'll have a talk. He got angry. Called him up and told him, this is not my sunnah. You don't do this. Okay? You've got to spend time with your family in all the ways that you need to spend that time with your family. That's part of the sunnah. I don't skip out on that thinking that you're going to become more spiritual. That's not how it works. The Prophet said, look, I'm your Prophet. I eat, I drink, I have my wives, I go to them. All of these, this is my sunnah, the whole thing. Don't skip out on the spiritual stuff. Don't do the forbidden things. But don't miss out on the halal either. Thinking that I need to avoid that entire, no. If it was something that needed to be avoided, I should have avoided it first and foremost. Well, it's not being avoided. So the point we're making, the month of Ramadan is a month that we are supposed to be training ourselves to have control over our desires. If God says this is a red line, don't do it, I'm absolutely not doing it. Not even getting close to that. Not getting close. If we want to do that, we have got to make sure we remove our man-made, cultural-made, community-made red lines. When we put those red lines, besides the red lines of Islam, besides the red lines of the Prophet, besides the red lines of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and we want to adhere to all of that, that's actually shirk. Okay? Because you are adhering to not the law of God, it's a mixture of the law of God and the law of someone else, whoever it may be. It does not make any difference. If I create a law, I have this, you should take this off, bang it on the ground, Shaykh, get off the minbar. You're not making your own laws. I have no right to make any law. No marja has any right to make any law of themselves. And no marja does. They refer to the sources. Like, to the best of my ability, this is what I understood of this, and God knows best. And please forgive me, God, if I made a mistake in that understanding. That's what they're presenting. No one has a right. Unfortunately, we have, okay? We have created those red lines that we need to remove from our minds as individuals and for the minds of the community members in order to free us to be able to ascend to go back to Tawheed, to adhere to God's law, nothing but, and inshallah through that get close to Allah. That control of the nafs is possible. That is possible. And when we control that nafs, when we control those desires, where God says it's halal, and I have a desire, I take. When I have a desire, God says, no, I say, okay, I'm not going to do this. If we control that, that's called taqwa. And taqwa is the key to falah, to prosperity in this life and the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to understand His teachings, understand the blessings He has given, the greatest blessing He has ever given any person is guidance. Oh Allah, give us that guidance further and further. And if there's anything that I am doing, that we are doing, that any of us is doing, that prevents us from seeing that guidance, from taking that guidance, oh Allah, forgive us, forgive me. Oh Allah, hasten the return of our Imam.